But perhaps you remember the roadmap from Colleen's talk from tomorrow. It was trying to build some hardware and optimizing it and looping, doing this loop until you have an optimized machine or an optimal machine. And well, I will not talk about such a thing, but about a parallel roadmap which might not lead to an optimal machine, but which is it does not cost so much with development. So we just start by existing hardware, which means PCs, and try to estimate how much does it cost to factor, for example, a 1024-bit integer. And then the next step would be to identify the parts which cost very much and which can be done in special purpose hardware much cheaper, and then iterate this process. This might not come to a good or optimal machine, but at least you can start with the first step and get some estimates. And it's also cheaper to, Chris Guy will talk tomorrow about ECM hardware, for example, and you can doing experiments in this kind of work is much cheaper than building a wafer, whole wafer and such as for Twill. So this talk will be about DC-based estimates, and there will be a very brief overview about GNFS, which we already heard several times. And you remember there are five steps. So three of them will be discussed very briefly, because they are, I hope to convince you that they are easy. And then there are two more steps, the sieving and the matrix step. And I will talk a bit more about the sieving step and then also about the matrix step. So what is our setting? We want to find this 1024-bit number. If you are the first one to send the vectors to RSA, you will get $100,000. So, but it's probably much more expensive to do that. So, and we want to use current technology. For example, these Athlon 64 CPUs. And not too much memory, because already 2 gigabyte memory are more expensive than the CPU. So we will use these things, and I will call such a thing a PC. If you use a dual core or a multi-core CPU with enough memory, then I call it two PCs or something like that. So, and we want to do the whole thing in 2 years, I will explain this too a bit later. And the question is, how expensive is it? So how much of these PC units do we need? So let's see, we have these five steps. We select polynomials, then we do a lot of it's what's called sieving, I think in the last talk, I call it collection of relations. Then from these relations, you build a matrix. In step three, you try to reduce the size of the matrix, and then you solve the matrix. And from the output, you have to do some post-processing, which gives you, or probably gives you, the factorization. So I will add some assessment how hard or how difficult these steps are. There are two categories, easy and hard. So easy, does not mean easy, but compared to the other steps, it is easy. So it's perhaps more doable. And you also notice there are two categories of hard. this hard for the second step is, I mean, it's also doable, but you need a lot of DCs. And this hard for the matrix step is, well, it means you need a lot of PCs, and there are a lot of problems. So it might be done, but it's very hard. So, okay. So let's first dispose of the odd number steps. For polynomial selection, I just wrote down a polynomial pair, which was found after some, well, I think at most a day for one PC. And usually you, so this can be done at least, and usually you spend much more time, and then you find a polynomial, then you usually also find a polynomial pair, which has a better yield. So yield means in the next step you will have to find relations, and you find a certain amount of relations per second, and so this well, this is defined as yield, let's say. So if you find a better polynomial, well, or if you do much more or spend much more time in this polynomial selection, you probably will find a polynomial which gives yield which is twice as high. So that will cut down the next step by a factor of 2. But well, I do not take this 2 into account, but you should remember that you can probably cut down the step, but that also applies to Twill or any other architecture. So, okay, so this step can be done. And so the other steps, let's skip the collection of relations. Then we have a lot of relations, and we have to produce the matrix. So the relations may occupy something like 10 or 500 terabyte of your hard disks, and you have to process this data. So it depends a little bit. If you restrict your parameters, you may end up with 10 terabyte, but the sieving takes a bit longer. And if you want to make the sieving a bit shorter, then you probably need to handle 500 terabyte of sieving data. But well, the operations you have to do in this step are very simple, more or less well, something like sorting and removing duplicates and translating some indices into some others. And these steps can all be done with a cluster which is large enough. So, and you can also do something on hard disks, so this 500 terabyte are not that frightening. So, and also, okay, so there's between the construction of the matrix and the square root computation, there's this matrix step where we have to solve a matrix, and for that we also need large clusters which have to do computations which on a lot of, on some terabyte of data. And if you can do this matrix step, then you can do this too. So this is much easier than the matrix step. So, and the last step, you also have to do some data shuffling, but then there's also the square root computation. And this, if you do this on one PC, you need a few months, but it can be, it is essentially just massively parallel. If you can send the data to several thousand PCs, then you can do it in probably a few hours. So that's also no problem. So okay, so we now got rid of three of these steps. And then we have this collection of relations step and the matrix step. And I will first go to the collection of relations before. So the problem is to find these pairs AB, where these two polynomial values are L-smooth. So L-smooth is in this talk that they split completely into prime factors which have at most 42 bit. 42, well, you can replace 42 by 40, or there's no, it does not affect the runtime by very, well, only by a few percent, perhaps. So, okay, and the strategy to do this is usually something, well, usually consists of two steps, the sieving part and the co-factoring part. In the sieving part, you well, you use a sieve and you identify small prime divisors of these polynomial values. And if you find enough survivors, you send this AB pair to the next steps. And well, there's an intermediate step where you actually compute these polynomial values. And let's say the factors below these bounds are collected in Si, we know them, and then there is an unknown Ri, of which we do not know whether it is Elfmus. So this Si is already Elfmus, and the our problem is to determine whether Ri contains a prime divisor bigger than with more than 42 bit or not. So, and this is done in this co-factoring step. So, okay. Well, in the first step, we use a sieve, and this means that we have to put all the primes up to these bounds bi into our memory and do some computations with them. So this step might need much memory. The next step, well, okay, so this is just an intermediate step, so I ignore it. It uses some memory of this. But the other main step, the co-factoring step, just gets a pair R1, R2, and has to decide whether it is Elfmus or not. So it just uses almost no memory. So, well, okay, now, since we want to use PCs, our memory is restricted to 2 gigabytes or something like that. So we can only use 2 gigabytes in this step. That means that these bounds bi cannot be too large. So okay, let's go to the next slide. So well, optimal bounds. Well. So optimal means extrapolated from smaller factorizations, which require something like 64 gigabytes of memory. So that would make, so that's much more than our 2 gigabyte PCs. So we choose suboptimal bounds BI for our factor bases. Well, that has the following consequences that, or let's go back. Well, so we do not, we probably do not find enough, or it's more rare that we find enough divisors here. So less AB pairs go to the subsequent steps, so we will find less smooth the pairs. And what can we do about that? We can just say we already, well, okay, perhaps I to tell that in this step, or yes, or okay, we just relax this condition of enough. We say we already found enough divisors if this Ri is a bit larger than before. So we relax the bounds on these rests Ri, and that means that we get more AB pairs to the third step, and that also means that co-factoring needs more time. Well, for two reasons, because we get more pairs, and also the Ri's are usually bigger. So, and well, if well, we can do that for a while, but if we do not care about co-factoring, it will become the dominant term. So okay, so the problem is how do we do the co-factoring? And I will problem is to determine whether these numbers are, or this pair is L-smooth. And we have several methods that were already mentioned. So, we quadratic sieve these products P minus 1 method and ECM. And they differ a bit in their characteristics. For example, this always gives a factorization, and these may fail. They just say, I don't know whether there is a factor, and then you can try it again, perhaps. But this you can only try once, this you can try several times. And they also have some parameters which affect their runtime and also the success rate. And so we can build several strategies from them. Let's say use ECM for R1 with parameters this and this, and if it fails, then use MPQS on R2 and get that factorization, and then perhaps use another ECM on R1 and these things. But which is the best strategy to factor R1 and R2? So I want to discuss this on one example. Well, it's a very simple example. First of all, we restrict ourselves to two factoring methods, so the MPQS and products P minus 1. So just ignore these. These are two parameters that are not the BI from before. So just for completeness. And we assume such a R1, R2 pair does arrive at the cofactoring step. And we already know that they have no small prime divisors, so because they were found by the sieving step. So, and we, well, and also that one of them is 1, and we have to factor the other one. We, well, there are not so many possibilities for this R1, because we know no prime factor has less than 13 bit, so there might be, the prime factors may have 31 to 34 bit. So, okay, let's start with two strategies. The first one is we just try to factor it by MPQS. That always succeeds, so the yield is 1. And, well, we can measure how long MPQS takes on average for factoring a 64-bit number, so we end up with this number. And another strategy would be to use this product P minus 1 method. And as I told you before, that may fail. If it fails, we use MPQS and factor it. So we always get the factorization, but we don't know how much time it takes. Okay, so I just show some slides how to calculate it. I give some details for this P minus 1 method. It takes this time 27 microseconds, and one can estimate the, or just make some experiments how often it finds a 31-bit prime factor and get these probabilities. So that can be done experimentally, and then one can also count these numbers. These are the targets on which we want to apply the method. It's 64-bit integers, and they may, if a 64-bit integer is not a prime and has no prime divisors below 30 bit, then it may decompose into two prime factors of size 31 bit, 34, or these other four possibilities. And you can count how many there are of these possibilities. So, and for each of these possibilities, you can, with the previous slide, so here, you know the success rate of P minus 1. So you can count how many of these this number of this type are discovered or factored by P minus 1. So, and essentially you get a success rate of 20%. So, in 20% are well, P minus one succeeds, and in the other 80%, we have spent these 27 microseconds in vain and have to add to this NBQS time, and then we get that the average time is 181 microseconds. So actually, you see, strategy one is superior to strategy. Strategy two is superior to strategy one. Well, but there are some other strategies which we actually have seen. So I add two others. It might be a strategy to use this P minus one method, and if it fails, we forget about this pair. So it needs less time, but we only get a factorization in 1/5 of the cases. So, but if you have enough AB pairs, this might be better. So we just use this for 5 of these pairs, and in 136 microseconds, we get one relation. So, and another strategy might be we have another source of getting at relations which is faster, so we do nothing and get no relation. So, that was a very simple example where we only had two factoring methods, and also one of the R's was one, and the other was also very small. In general, you have many more factoring methods, and also this R2 is not one, so you can also switch between them. So in general, but actually, you can compute the time and the yield as before, as I showed you before. So in general, you get such a picture. You have R1 and R2 are the bit length of this capital R1 and R2, and if you fix that, you get these are the strategies, and you get points in this diagram. And the problem is, if you compare these two, you actually see this takes more time and has a lower yield, so this one is superior to this. So, but if you want to compare this and this, you don't know which one is better. So you might spend more time and get a bit more yield, but it may be better to use this strategy. So, and it's a bit more complicated. You just have this diagram for each of these bit lengths R1, R2. So you have a lot of these diagrams, and the solution, or there's an algorithm how to compute the best strategies. So there exists such a slope S, and then you drop a line of slope S until it hits the first point, and this strategy you take. So, and this S is essentially the time, the yield you get for your whole seeding process. So this you can compute, experimentally compute, let's say. So now we have for choosing strategies, we have an algorithm, and with this we can cut down the cofactorization time, or optimize the time spent in the cofactorization. So, now we can do some experiments for our 1024-bit number. I'll just show you the setup. So we have some data there about the what is done. So we actually do lattice sieving, as explained in the last talk, and these are the special queues. At the beginning I said a PC has less than or equal to 2 gigabytes of memory. So So I made this for three, well, I think reasonable choices for PCs. One CPU, the cost of one CPU is perhaps somewhere between here. It's less than 1 gigabyte and more than half a gigabyte. So perhaps these are reasonable PCs. So, well, the memory dictates us how to choose the vector bases or, well, or gives limits on these. So we choose them as large as possible. And then we choose a region of special queues over which we see. The longer the region is, the longer we have to see. And well, also we can also choose these bounds for the cofactorization. I've played around with these a little bit and chosen this one. They are probably not optimal. So, but for these three PC variants, we can then try to estimate the time they need. So how do we do this? We have here a large interval of special queues, and we choose every 100 millionth of these and start the sieving and check how much output we get, how many relations. And then, well, there's a little complication because we get duplicates, but we can estimate how many relations we will get for the whole interval. And we also know the number of special queues here and how much time it takes for one special queue, so we get the total time. And the result is a bit, well, a bit surprising, or not surprising, but, well, okay, so here you see the number of special queue and the time per special queue. And from this we can estimate the number of PCs we need to finish in 1 year. Well, there's this number which is perhaps a statistical error, or probably a statistical error, because, well, one can also estimate the number of relations in a different way, and that gives a smaller number for this. But I've chosen the more conservative choice of this number. So, okay, let's perhaps compare these two. So, if we have the memory of our PC, then we need 1.5 many PCs. So, and it depends on the environment which one is better, which strategy. So, because these PCs are a little bit cheaper, and perhaps also in the future, or at the moment, dual core CPUs are more or less standard, and in the future you get 4 or 8 core CPUs, and if you take an 8-core CPU and equip it with 8 gigabyte, then with 4 gigabyte, then you can just say it corresponds to 8 of these PCs here, and it depends on the development in PCs, about the ratio between CPU price or core price and memory price, which of these variants you prefer. So a second comment about this is you see here the time per special queue drops from here to here. That is because we have a much smaller factor base and we have to do less there. From here to here it increases. Well, that's because we have a smaller factor base, so it drops a bit, but these bounds here are a bit higher, so much more cofactoring is done, and that increases the time. So actually in this time, in this variant, more than half of the time spent in cofactoring. So if we have some small ASICs with ECM or something and put them into the computer, we might gain a lot here. So less on these variants, but here we get a lot, gain a lot. So it might be preferable to use this variant. So okay, so at least with something like 8 million VPCs, we can do the sieving step without special hardware. And now I have a little bit of time to say something about the matrix step. Well, okay, let's not. So first of all, we don't know how big the matrix will be. We can extrapolate it from the factorizations we already have done, but they were very different, so we get very different numbers for the rows and columns. But I decided to take something in the middle, so 8,000 million rows and columns, and there are, so the number of non-zero entries is 150 per row on average. So just to store the matrix, if you use 4 bytes per entry, you need 5 terabyte. And so you cannot do it on one computer. And well, storing it on a hard disk is probably a bad idea. So you need this data. So you need a cluster. And well, okay, so I first described, let's want to say something about the algorithm which we will use to solve this matrix. Well, there are 5 steps, but essentially you are, okay, so M is the matrix I just described, or which size I just described, and the essential computations are here. You have to multiply the matrix and a vector and iterate this operation many times. So, and in this step you do the same thing. And there is an intermediate step which is a bit more complicated, or yes, it's also complicated. And there are some initialization step which is easy, and the final step which also is easy. So I want to concentrate on the steps 2 to 4. I've written down the complexities. So this is XOR for 1 bit, while in space is it's probably a bit more than 1 bit is storing an entry. So that's in 4 byte or something. That's, so just remember, D and W are very big numbers. So here we have big numbers, and here we have big numbers. And we have M and N. These are 2 parameters in this algorithm with which we can play around. They just, so the, let's say N is an important number. It means that we can parallelize the operation on N different machines. So that's important. But unfortunately, these numbers go into the complexity of this intermediate step, and this will become more and more complicated, so we cannot make them too big. So, okay. So some comments about the intermediate step. You can actually, for this choice, you can do it with one PC in 500 years. That's an extrapolation from the last factorization. You need a lot of disk space, and it can be parallelized, but it is not clear how good this will be. So this might be a problem to do this intermediate step in, let's say, 3 months, but it might be possible. So with a few thousand PCs, let's say, that's less than the 8 million we have. So the difficult steps are 2 and 4, and we can just dream of such a cluster, which consists of 4,000 PCs and with 1.5 gigabyte memory. They are in a torus-shaped network topology. And if we extrapolate from the last factorizations and hope that everything works well for this cluster, then we can do one matrix times vector multiplication in 5 plus 3 seconds, 8 seconds. So the whole number of multiplications we have to do can be done in, well, for step 2 we need 6 months, for step 4 3 months. So this might be done in 9 months, and 3 months for the step 3 I mentioned, if it is possible. So something like a year. So, but there are a lot of problems. So first there can be computing errors, but that's not a big problem because we can do orthogonality checks. So we can check the all results, and we can also use, so I didn't explain the algorithm in detail, but we can use something like error correcting codes. So I don't think that computing or these computing errors are a big problem, but hardware failure may be a problem. If you buy one PC and first for the seeding step you buy 8 million PCs and let's then see for a year, and after usually 1 million of them will crash or something, so you just start buying 9 million and you get your result. So, but if you assume that one PC crashes every 10 years, which is very optimistic, then this cluster with 4,000 PCs will crash every day, so one of the computers. So that's a bigger problem.
But you
so
use the guarantee, then it gives them back.
You will have to interrupt your computation every day, and if you do not store the results, it's very it's a big problem. So probably you have to use backup PCs, so backup each PC by another one, and hope that everything works well. And there are some strategies to avoid this, but it's still a big problem. So, okay, so let's summarize what I wanted to tell you. So there are these two hard problems, which are designed at hard, it's a collection of relations and matrix step. And the first one can be done with 8 million PCs in a year. So, and this has been experimentally verified for a fraction of them. So, and the other one, that is, there's a big question mark. This might be done with something 4 or 8 million PCs connected to a lot of clusters, but this is not so sure. Okay, so and then you can compute the costs for these PCs for yourself, and finish this computation in 2 years. Okay, thank you.